Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Welcome, everyone, once again to the house of the Lord. On this beautiful day that God has created us, created just for us, I should say. Yesterday was wonderful. The weather was perfect, wasn't it? It was borderline perfect. Today we're also enjoying a borderline perfect weather again. In my humble opinion, we're going to enjoy some rain tomorrow, but let us enjoy today. Praise God. And to be here in the house of God and worshiping with you here today is an honor and a privilege. And thank you, all of you joining also at this moment and watching. I go by Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. And today is the finale of, at the time I didn't know I was going to do a series, but we're going to wrap up a series on Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? Amen? Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your name. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, so very much for your love and your kindness and your goodness towards us, Lord. Your everlasting love. I thank you, Lord, for being with us every single day, speaking to us, guiding us. And I pray, Lord, that everything that we hear, everything that we learn, everything that the Holy Spirit imparts on us, may we put it to use. May we not forget. May we meditate, Lord, in your word and act on your word. May we simply not just be hearers, Lord, but also doers of all that you command. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that as your word goes forth, may you do all of the ministering here this morning. And it is in your holy name that we pray. Amen. All right. Let's open up with our base verse, which is Galatians chapter 5. If you could turn my mic down just a little bit, please. I appreciate it. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to start reading verse 22. Galatians 5:22. All right, let us read. This is what we're studying here last couple of weeks. But the fruit of the Spirit, the results, the fruits is first love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then it says, against such there is no law. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. The way that I started teaching this here in the congregation is by groups of three. There are nine things that are listed right now as fruits of the Spirit. The first three go together. The second set of threes, they go together. And today we're going to talk about the final three graces that we receive from the Holy Spirit, which is described as fruits. What does that mean, fruits? Brother Chet, what does that mean to you? The fruit of the Spirit. That terminology is basic, plain, as basic as you can be.
Fruit of the Spirit is the result of the Holy Spirit throwing off, like a tree, a complete, whole, fresh, delicious fruit.
Love it.
Amen.
Say the beginning one more time. It is the result of the Holy Spirit,
like a tree.
Like a tree. Throwing off fresh, and then you included delicious.
Amen.
Fruit. I like that. I like that a lot. Just against.
I was going to say evidence.
That's a very good point. Evidence. Yes. The evidence of the Holy Spirit. That's excellent. Very well put. It is evident something that the Holy Spirit is doing in the life of someone. You can see it. You can see a difference in a person. How they act, how they speak, how they carry themselves, sometimes even how they look. You know, there's a visible change that you see in someone. I love that. Anybody else want to impart? Matt? No. You agree with those two?
Sure.
Yep. All right. Praise God. Amen. So, you're going to find that these last three have conditions. Okay? You're going to find out that these last three not only have conditions, but have consequences, but you have to qualify. And you would think that these last three would be in the beginning. Let's get into it right away. The final three graces here, they guide the general conduct, the general behavior of a believer who is led by the Spirit of God. It guides. Imagine, you have all these things that we are enjoying right now. You have joy, you have love, you have joy, you have peace. You have patience, you have kindness, you have goodness. You have all these things. It's wrapped up in a fruit basket, right? But do you know how to manage every single one of them? When to apply? When not? We're going to speak about that also. How to have the wisdom to operate in all these things. We're going to start here with faithfulness. It is the word pistis. And it is the quality that renders a person trustworthy and reliable. Trustworthy and reliable. In today's world, suppose you are interviewing someone for a job. Trustworthy and reliable, those two words, tend to be somewhat at the high of the priority list, quite high in the priority list, wouldn't you say? Of course, you have to meet qualification. You have to have, most people want you to be trained. There are certain jobs that will train you. But even for someone to want to train someone, they still have to qualify. And one of the things that they need to qualify on is this person trustworthy? Is this person someone that I could rely on at any given moment? Are they readily available in an instant call? Are they readily available on a holiday? Things of that nature. But here, is placed towards the back. Now understand this. What can we use as an example of faithfulness? Because when you think of faithfulness, automatically your mind goes into religion, right? Faithfulness towards God. Faithfulness to His Word. Faithfulness to the kingdom things, right? Automatically, your mind is going to go to that. But let's be a little bit more practical here as far as how the word is used here or how it's implied in conjunction with everything else that was mentioned. We're going to look at Luke 16. I would like for you to turn there with me real quick. I'm going to give you a brief moment. Luke chapter 16. And we're going to start reading verse 10. Amen, amen?
Amen.
Let's read. The Word of God says, "He who is faithful," faithful, right? There it is. We're talking about faithfulness. "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? It is funny how right now the word faithful or faithfulness is applied to what? Not religion, not belief. What is it applied to? That's right. It's applied to this. Tangibles. Money. Right? It's applied to money. Who in here has money? All right, now, ye meek and humble servants of the Lord. I don't have any money. We all got money. I know all of us, we have at least $1 in our pocket. You got to have at least $1 in your pocket. If you don't have a single bill in your pocket, you might have some change laying around somewhere. We're not zero broke. All right, fine. I got plastic. All right, I'll take that. All right. Yeah, actually, that counts. Right now, the word of the Lord is referring to something that you can see, that you can touch, that you can feel. Sometimes even you can smell it, especially if it's fresh from the bank, still crispy, and it makes that crackling sound, right? You can smell it. And the Lord is saying right now, if you are unfaithful, it says right now, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? What we see right now in this realm is also a reflection on what's behind. Earlier we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. It was described by Brother Chet as a tree that bears off wonderful, delicious fruits that is very evident and that can be seen. And then Sister Gantz said, what's that word you use? Evidence, thank you. It is a visible, audible evidence of something that is happening inside of you. It is nothing spiritual that you need to look through spiritual eyes. Nothing. You see it, you hear it. Sometimes you even feel it. You feel the love that someone is emitting for someone, right? Same thing right now. What is right now in the natural reflects what's on the inside. If one is faithful in the use of something that is very important to them, meaning what? Your money. Your money. Don't tell me that your money is not important to you. I'm not even going to ask the question. Because it is. We open up savings accounts to hold our money. We invest our money in an account where it's always going to bring back a return. Some of us do. We have it in CDs. We have it in savings accounts that yield a percentage, an annual percentage that fluctuates, but at least it yields something. We invest. We save. It's something of importance. It gets the job done. It pays the bill. We survive. We pay for our food. We pay for our stay, for our cars, our gas, our auto, whatever it might be. If you are not faithful with that, the Word of God is saying, how is it that you're going to be trusted in something that you don't see? In something that is uprooted, is supposed to be rooted on the inside. Amen? Do we understand here? If one is faithful with the money that he or she uses, he can be trusted with great things, great riches. What does the Word of God call it? It calls it true riches. It refers to the kingdom spiritual riches of which the disciples at the time were supposed to partake. And it starts right now. What will it take for you to be responsible or faithful to tangibles right now? You can say discipline, right? You can say self-control, which is going to be the next thing that we're going to talk about here in just a moment. Well, in a couple things here down the road. You could say so many things like being humble instead of prideful. A lot of people do prideful spending. They want to be seen. They want to be recognized. All these things have a tie to our soulish realm of what's happening inside of us. And here is where our soulish realm connects with the spiritual. If you can be trusted with things that are given to you as a blessing, the Lord is also able to bless you and trust you with spiritual things. Amen? But one would think that this was supposed to be somewhat at the top of the list. Wouldn't you say so? But it's not. Love, it's at the top of the list. Love uncontrollably. Amen?
Amen.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Love uncontrollably. Love your enemies. Love people that you don't get along. From that, you're going to receive joy in your heart automatically. You're going to have peace in your life. All these things, it all stems from joy. Let's move on. The next one here actually might surprise you. Gentleness. Gentleness makes a person, matter of fact, I don't think you're going to get this one right. What do you think is a big significance to gentleness? What does it mean to you? Would you automatically say that someone that has a gentle spirit, it means towards one another, towards people? That's probably what you're going to say. Would you say anything apart from that or beyond that? Okay. Toward others, yeah. Beings, yeah. How about this? How about submission to the Word of God? Do you believe that submission to the Word of the Lord is a necessity? Absolutely, right? And do you know how you get to that place, to that mindset? Gentleness. You've never thought about that, have you? Or maybe you might have heard it a long time ago. I know I have. I know it's been a while. But you need gentleness in your life in order to accept the Word of God. If gentleness is missing from the equation in your personality, in your being, matter of fact, let me stop talking. Right now, let me give you an example in the Word of God. Turn to James chapter 1, please. And we're going to go to verse 21. All right, I'll take that. Check this out. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Another word for meekness here is humbly gentle. Amen? Amen. I speak about this from time to time, but most of the time I don't back it up with a verse, this statement that I make. But actually, I just spoke about it this past weekend, how there are many people out there who study the Word of God, but they're trying to denote the Word of God. They're trying to prove the Word of God to be false. They always say it was written by man, it's an untrusty source, and you can't prove this. And then they go into the translation theory, right? Oh, the translation. Why there must be a thousand different translations of the Word of God? Why can't there just be one? They're always looking for something to water down the Word of God. But this is what they are missing. They're missing gentleness. Here in the Word of God, it uses the word meekness. You see, consequently, it is essential first for a person to put away, to remove all moral filth from their lives. And all of the abundance of evil that dwells inside of them. And then to humble themselves in a way of meekness to receive the implanted word. Notice how everything is circling back around again. The word of God once again. James 1:21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. The implanted word which is able to save your soul. What am I talking about circling back again? Are we not talking about the fruits of the Spirit? And in order for something to give fruit, it has to be planted. Does it not? Or no? If something is out of the ground, if something is not planted even correctly, it's not going to grow properly. It's not going to sprout. It's not going to bud. It's not going to be productive, fruitful. So the Word of God has always meant to be something that has to be planted inside of you. It has to stay. I spoke about it to extent actually this past Sunday morning, where the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. First thing he's going to do is snatch the word away from your heart. You're going to start daydreaming. Be here and there. You're going to start falling asleep. Daydream, wondering. Your phone is going to start buzzing. All of a sudden, you're distracted on your phone. One thing after another thing. All of a sudden, everything is going to be so interesting. So interesting. That one email that you overlooked, all of a sudden you're reading every single note, word that's on it. That one text message. Oh, I just noticed something right now that I totally overlooked yesterday when this person sent me a text message, and you're in the middle of sermon. And here someone is going to say, oh, that must be the Lord. No, it's not. That's not the Lord at all. That's the enemy. Anyone that says the Lord, that is the enemy trying to snatch away a word that is supposed to be planted in your heart, and that word grows. That seed grows. It's supposed to be profitable for us. Amen? Amen. See, planted here contrasts with grafted. The word is to be ingrown. The word is supposed to be inborn. It's supposed to be rooted in fertile soil. And that soil is your soul. Earlier I mentioned where the soul meets the spirit. The word of God is supposed to be planted in the soul of the hearer, every single one of them. And once that is planted, and it produces fruit. It doesn't produce soulish fruits. It produces spiritual fruits. It is that word of God that will save us from destruction. And when I say destruction, I mean it in a general term. Everything. Sickness, diseases, bodily harm, emotional problems, mental issues, family problems, business problems, everything from front to back, the Word of God is able to help us with that. But we have to go back to the roots now, right? We have to go back to basics. And the basic is this, the Word of God. This is the long-lasting standing and will forever stand. Forever. The Word of the Lord. Amen. No matter what someone says. Amen. Amen. Amen? Amen. And finally, self-control. We're getting to the end of this, right? Self-control. I'm not going to try to pronunciate this word here. But self-control denotes self-mastery. And no doubt whatsoever, primarily relates to curbing fleshly impulses. Amen?
Amen.
The Apostle Paul says in Corinthians that he disciplines his body. Does he not? He disciplines his body after he's done ministering to others, lest he should be what? Disqualified. What is he saying right now? When we minister, when the fruits, I'll put it this way, when the fruits of the Spirit is being put to use, when you are being used by the Holy Spirit and it is evident and all of that is just coming out and you are being used as a vessel in the hands of God, that's when the enemy is going to want to attack you. And this is where you want to exercise self-control. Right now, you just showed, I'm going to use the first three. Love, joy, peace. Then all of a sudden, something is going to come your way to where as though you would come into a fit of rage. Or generally that something would disturb you. All of a sudden it's going to want to steal your peace. And it's going to require a reaction from you. But all of a sudden, you exercise self-control. Self-control wraps everything up real beautifully. And I've said this before, and I'm saying it again, it is impossible to attain this type of quality of self-control without the power of God. And that requires submission. Submission to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It requires a person to continuously submit themselves to the Lord, to be in line with God. Always, continuously, over and over and over again. Let me show you here real quick. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. I'll go ahead and take that, please. It says, but also, for this very reason, give all diligence. Give all diligence, okay? Add to your faith, which you already have, you're going to add to that virtue. To virtue, you're going to add knowledge. To knowledge, you're going to add what? You're going to add what? Self-control. With all diligence, brothers and sisters. I'm going to start from the beginning, because this is important for us here to truly grasp this. Give all diligence, giving all diligence, I should say, add to your faith virtue. to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. And then it says, to self-control, perseverance. Perseverance. And then the rest of the verse here, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness. It circles back around again for the very first one on Galatians 5, love. Galatians 5, 22, 23, starting verse 22. It all circles back over to love. Amen?
Amen.
This is what the Word of God is saying that we must apply to our lives. This is something that we ought to be living, every single one of us. And you know every step from A to Z to where it begins. Galatians 5, just a few verses before, prior. Verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
This is how we should walk. We should walk in the Spirit. This is how we ought to conduct ourselves. It is attainable. It is achievable. And now you know where to start. Amen?
Amen.
You read these verses and you become overwhelmed. You read verse 22 of Galatians 5 and you take it up to verse 23. They both go together. And then you wonder, how in the world am I going to be able to walk in all of this? You start with one at a time. And you start with the very first one. Sorry, let me stand here. Sometimes there's a connection issue. You start with one at a time, and that is love. This is where you begin. Amen?
Amen.
You start with that, and everything else is going to come through. All the fruits of the Spirit is going to come through, one by one. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for these instructions. We thank you, Lord, for your word that teaches. We thank you, Lord, so very much that we can walk in the Spirit. All of us. It's achievable. We can do it. And may we want to do it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will produce strong, healthy fruits. Fruits of the Spirit that could only be given, Lord, by the Spirit. May we exercise discipline. May we have diligence in all that we do, especially, Lord, what we do for you. But may it also reflect, Lord, our daily lives, the way that we live, the way that we carry ourselves. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we bless your name. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Give the Lord a big clap again. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord with our tithe and offering. Praise the Lord. Let's stretch forth our hand towards this offering. Lord, we thank you. We worship you. Lord, we praise you for who you are. You are an awesome God. Father, Lord, we thank you for out of the abundance you have blessed us. We are presenting this before you. Let there be open heaven. Bless each and every one of us. Pour more blessing upon your people that we have to open many more bank accounts to spread the gospel. Father, increase and multiply this which are presented before you so that we continue to share the gospel, expand the gospel to around the whole world. In Jesus' most wonderful name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Amen.